You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
ClevelandBrowns.com is your most trusted source for Browns news, plus the latest photos and videos straight from the source right here in Berea. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com for everything Browns. That's ClevelandBrowns.com. And this is a Football Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, and we are very pleased to welcome in via the Ohio Business Machines hotline our good buddy, John Clayton from ESPN. Hello, John.
How you doing? Everything going good?
Everything's going wonderfully. So let me ask you, though, your network, and I know it's your network because you have an ownership stake in it. You've been there long enough to have that. Your network is just thriving on Johnny Football. I mean, it's. I would say if you didn't have Johnny Football, I don't know how you'd be programming all these football shows.
Well, we needed somebody to take over for Tim Tebow. So there's no doubt we're using the same Tim Tebow plan. I wouldn't be surprised if we're doing live shots from the field when Johnny Football takes the field during training camps. So, yeah, I mean, you know that Johnny Football is big news, and I guess between ESPN and TMZ, he's got a great following.
Well, what's your take, John? Start right at the beginning because we haven't talked with you since the draft. What's your take on the Browns selecting this guy?
I like the idea that they got him at the 22nd pick as opposed to something up top, because I think that, you know, in a draft like this, and we saw it in 2011, you know, if you don't take a quality player in that first 10, you may be blowing a chance to get a Pro Bowl player for the next 10 years. And that's not saying that Johnny Manziel might not be a Pro Bowl player. What it does say is that this draft was special, particularly up top. I mean, even look at getting Gilbert at the 8th pick. I mean, he has a chance, if he does well, to be a Pro Bowler for many, many years. I mean, this was just a great draft up top. So getting him at 22nd, I thought, was, you know, pretty much a bargain. Yeah, it cost a couple of draft choices, but you go to quarterback. It's a more manageable contract, which, of course, that's not a big deal for the Browns because they have as much cap room as anybody in football. But also, too, I think what it also helps at is lowering some of the expectations, which I think the organization is wisely trying to do, because you know how starved it is for Cleveland for a quarterback. I mean, all the fans have been looking for quarterbacks for so many years, and, you know, they're hopes are putting the guy in too early. And I think the big mistake would be put Johnny Manziel in too early. So if it buys time for him to learn the offense, feel more comfortable, and then play sometime during the season, I think that helps everything out.
It certainly does. Joined by John Clayton on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. And John, when you look at this team and the excitement around it, the buzz around it, a lot of that does have to do with Johnny Manziel. Brian Hoyer, you think they would be better off starting him early in the season, though, at this point?
I think to start him, yeah, no question. Because, and again, I don't know how good Brian Hoyer is going to be. You know, I kind of use that, Vic knows this one so well, the Ted Marchibroda line on quarterbacks who are good backups. And I think that Brian Hoyer has a chance to be a good backup and a decent starter. But, you know, when you bring a backup off the bench and you play him 3, he can win you 3, just like Hoyer did. But if you play him 6, he could lose you 3. So, you know, he's kind of that quarterback, I think, that can get the team to .500. Which, of course, I mean, that doesn't get a lot of excitement. It's an improvement. But also, too, I think what this does is it gives Hoyer the chance to kind of break in a whole new group of receivers because, I mean, you can see with Greg Little being gone and the question marks about Josh Gordon, you know, it's taking a new group, and that's a lot to ask for a rookie quarterback.
It is. And speaking of Josh Gordon, John, what are you hearing on the Josh Gordon situation? It's kind of vague. We're hearing there's an appeal has been made. What are you hearing? When do you expect the ruling to be handed down?
Well, I mean, again, there's no real timetable until you get to maybe the last week of August, but I would have to think by sometime before training camp, some announcement has to be made. You have to give it, you know, the due process of going through the appeal. But, I mean, in this case, you know, if he is in stage 3, phase 3, and he did have another violation, it's pretty well set that it's going to be a year. Now, you know, you can test it could have been a missed test. It could have been a positive test for something. But if there was a positive test, the phase that he's in, he probably will miss the season or at least maybe half the season. So, you know, I would imagine in the next month there'll probably be some determination. But until then, there's the natural quietness there should be.
John, we've talked a lot and heard a lot about the philosophical approach that Mike Pettine, Ray Farmer want to take with this team, with or without Josh Gordon, that you want to have a power-oriented run game to complement a defensive-first approach. Looking at the personnel that had been added through free agency and through the draft, how do you see this stacking up, that plan versus the people you have to run that plan?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, the plan's adjusted because I think with the change in the receiving core, it now makes it more of a team that probably needs to power run. And the question is, you know, are they strong enough at the running back position to be able to do that? I think they're strong enough on the offensive line. That one, I think, is they're in pretty good shape there. So I think they have the ability to do that. And I think it would certainly help a quarterback like Hoyer to be able to go through that. You know, and again, still buying time for Johnny Manziel to do it. But, you know, when you really look at this team, there's some pretty good talent on it. I mean, more so on defense and offense, because, you know, the front seven, I think, is very solid. There's no doubt the secondary is very good. And so, you know, you have that. So in a lot of ways, it's kind of like a team built for Cleveland, built for the cold weather, built for the AFC North. And so from that standpoint, I think they can be in good shape there.
Yeah, they're going to play defense. They're going to run the football. John Clayton from ESPN joining us here on CBD. John, when Ray Farmer is asked about the wide receiver position, he constantly is saying we're not done. They're maybe even thinking about some trades at that position. Have you heard anything on that front? And who would be some receivers that you think or may have heard that teams would be open to moving at this point?
Yeah, it's too early to tell at this stage because everybody is now just really getting everybody on the field. I mean, this is the first week of OTAs, and so technically this is the first chance for all 32 teams to be, except for some of the teams with new coaching changes, to be able to see everybody on the field. So from that standpoint, that hasn't really sorted itself out yet. I think you can see that, you know, he's loaded up on veterans, whether it's Nate Burleson or getting a slot guy like Andrew Hawkins or Miles Austin and, you know, the many moves that they've made there. But, yeah, I think that, I mean, you know, I don't buy into the Andre Johnson idea, you know, because certainly, you know, it's a big salary, could be a costly draft choice, and you're getting a guy who's very good but maybe on the downside of his career. I mean, really what the ideal thing would be to find something similar to Josh Gordon. Because, I mean, that's the unique.
That would be very ideal.
Yeah, it is. Because, I mean, you know, he is a unique talent.
Right.
I mean, he's an outside guy who can make big plays and big catches. And so to you know, try to replace that at this stage is going to be very difficult to do. And all you have to do is go ask teams like Carolina, you know, maybe even the New England Patriots a year ago. I mean, unfortunately, those guys just don't pop free.
John, we heard a lot, and I think a lot of it came from the analysts on ESPN, but it came from people at NFL Network. I mean, a lot of national perspective basically saying that the Browns have mishandled Johnny Football through the comments from Ray Farmer saying right off the bat that he was far behind Brian Hoyer in workouts, that Jimmy Haslam making the point that Mike Pettine had told Manziel from the very beginning, the day after he was drafted, that he was going to be a backup and kind of act that way and so on and so forth. So those became points of contention nationally that basically said, you don't do this with Johnny Manziel. You don't treat him this way, and these are bad signs. What's your take on the so-called treatment or handling of a guy who obviously brings all that cachet with him?
You know, honestly, I think it's the right thing to do, and I'm probably in the total minority on this, because I think what it comes down to is trying to sell the Cleveland Brown fans to be patient. Don't expect him to be, if he is, fine. I mean, he can be like Russell Wilson and stun everybody and go through the OTAs, and you come out of the OTAs and saying, hey, we've got to change the competition on this. This guy's so far ahead. But see, I think the missing element, and again, I don't think there's anything that's been negatively said about Johnny Manziel other than the standpoint it's like, no, we want him to be the backup quarterback. And, you know, take into account, and there was even a story that I think was floating around this weekend that, you know, it's in college he really didn't even have a playbook. But, you know he's smart. He's got a 32 Wunderlich. You know he's football savvy. But
sure,
he comes in, and, you know, this was told to me by a scout, with like a computer that doesn't have any programs in it to learn an NFL offense. And so, and that's no fault of anybody, and it's no knock on him. It's a reality. So, you know, he's taking everything in, and so what happens when you have a guy that's going to be thinking a lot as he's trying to do things he hasn't really done proficiently before? Well, it's going to take a little bit of time. And I think what the organization is trying to do is buy him that time. And I'll tell you the things like, well, I mean, here's an example of Russell Wilson, who was very savvy coming in. First practice in his rookie year, he throws, you know, a seven route, and he throws it to the inside shoulder. Okay, and a seven route kind of being like a skinny post, you know, toward the post. And so coaches come over and says, why the heck did you do that? And Russell looks at him and goes, well, what are you talking about? It's like, I shouldn't throw it to the inside shoulder? He goes, absolutely not. You never make that throw. Why'd you do it? And he goes, I didn't have that route in college. I never threw it before. So those are the things that, you know, you have to pick up on. And after that, I mean, you know, Russell Wilson threw it to the right shoulder, to over to the sideline shoulder every way. But, you know, those are the little things. And until you get those down, and, you know, if you're going to be, you know, because Russell came out of a more sophisticated NFL type of offense than Johnny Manziel, you know, it takes you time to be able to learn that.
It certainly does. There is a learning curve for these guys. There's no question about it. And Johnny Manziel, one of the things that I've noticed immediately is he's mentally got to catch up to where Brian Hoyer is, and then it can be a true competition between their physical gifts. But that'll take time. It might not happen until this summer. Might not happen until this season as Johnny Manziel learns this offense. John, you said you like the way they've been handling Johnny football. One thing, now that we're here post-draft, kind of post-offseason, and the roster seems to be assembled, what's your evaluation of the job that Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine have done this offseason in shaping this roster from the draft, free agency, et cetera, and how you think they've done in terms of addressing the needs of the Browns?
Well, I mean, I think they've done a good job because I think they've done it in a complex way because, you know, there's talent on this team, but it was such a young team. And so what they've made the adjustments is trying to come in and maybe get some veterans that are a little bit older that can provide leadership for some of these guys. You know, they got older at the safety position, bringing Dante Whitner in. But, hey, I mean, as Dante Whitner will tell you, you know, he went to San Francisco, and they had a lot of youth on that team, and he was able to help them out with leadership. You know, and a guy like, Nate Burleson, once he's healthy, he can be a good leader and help on the team. And same thing with Carlos Dansby. So you like it from that standpoint that they were trying to think through, okay, what's good for the team for talent, but also what's going to be good for this young team in the locker room too.
John, last one for me. The big news yesterday in the NFL, Sean Lee suffering what looks to be the season-ending ACL tear in practice, in their OTA practice in Dallas. Does that have any kind of ripple effect around the league in any possible way? Could that very well lead to more strictures on all the remaining OTA practices or whatever? How do you see any domino from this?
You hit a hot button for me on that one because I wish it would, because it needs to be. And what you're seeing, and I know I was in a debate with the league last year because they came out and said ACL injuries were down. And I said, wait a second, how can you say that? There were 61 ACL injuries. And they took the package like, well, yeah, but starting from the first preseason game, there was only like 30, and that's less than the previous year. And I go, no, you've got to look at the off season because you're seeing exactly the same thing you saw last year. Guys are coming into the OTAs, and in non-contact plays are blowing out the knee. If you really watch the tape of the injury that Lee suffered, the knee popped right before Zach Martin landed on him. That's when it went. You know, Dominic Hickson blew out an ACL yesterday. There was something in the neighborhood of like 30 ACL tears just before the start of the regular season. And those guys, you know, eat up a lot of money under the cap. Their careers are at risk trying to come back from these things. And I think what it comes down to is that, you know, again, this is not an individual knock on Lee, Hickson, or any guy that suffered it. You know, you go from training your own way to going on the field trying to do something quickly. The body gets a shock. Something pops.
John, great stuff. Appreciate you checking in with us. Can't wait till it's actually down in training camp. You would think with all the hoopla and hype right now going on here in Cleveland that the season would be about to start, but we still have a ways to go. Look forward to catching up with you and always appreciate your insights.
Okay, I'm looking forward to getting there too.
Yeah, I bet. It's going to be fun. Cleveland's the place to be now.
And he's the original John Football, just for the record.
Oh, I like that. I think that could be a SportsCenter commercial, your next SportsCenter commercial, John. Who was the original John Football? You and Johnny Manziel.
Let's put it this way. He got the brand, so I have to concede to him. Plus, I don't know if he likes Slayer or not.
Thank you,
like
buddy.
I said, this could be a good commercial.
Thanks.
216-578-0850. Want to hear from you. And again, hit us with because it's coming up next. We're going to dip into this mailbag. It's a mailbag Wednesday, so you tweet us at Browns_daily, hashtag mailbag. We want to hear from you both ways because we want to react. We know you have a lot on your mind. He is Nathan. I'm Vic. This is CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.